Hey, Spin and Backfist listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
All right, we are live. Welcome to the Spin and Backfist MMA show for February 7th. It is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. And it is a huge show. We've got, it's been a crazy year in MMA already, but the biggest news of the year in MMA, Conor McGregor is back. Surprise, surprise, the king is back. Conor McGregor will coach the next season of The Ultimate Fighter against Michael Chandler, probably at 170 pounds, he told Bussin' with the Boys, which, look at the size of Conor, not so surprising.
He's
huge. Yeah, he's probably 190 right now.
Oh, yeah. He
looks maybe massive. 200. So he's going to have to cut down to that. But they're going to film. I don't know when they're going to film, but it's going to air the end of May through August.
So I believe Chandler said he's going to be down there in the next week.
I know that. Him and they're going to go down. I think they're going down to meet with Dana first, though.
Oh, got it.
I think they're going down to meet with Dana the Monday after the Super Bowl, he said. Which Conor, also, the past couple of years, Conor's gone to the Super Bowl. That's like a thing that I guess he likes to do. Maybe I don't know if it's Proper just 12. To promote Proper 12. Yeah, he's got the new whiskey coming out. But there's those great pictures of him throwing a football, and he looks like he's never held a football before. He did just drop a new Irish whiskey. Shout out to McGregor. No free ads, but kind of a free ad. He's got Apple whiskey now.
Oh, nice.
And did you see his press conference he did as Steve Jobs?
Yeah, I saw that.
Put on a turtleneck and did the whole shebang. That was nice. I'm sure the Apple whiskey is going to be a massive seller, especially he's just going to promote it the entire time in The Ultimate Fighter. But this is huge news. They're going to fight at the end of the season, obviously, probably August, September range. I think it's a great opponent for McGregor in his comeback. We talked about it a little off mic where Chandler is at the top, at least close enough to the top, where with a win, he will get a title shot. Michael Bisping said it today, 100%. They will give McGregor a title shot with a win here.
I think so. Yeah, I said this to you off camera. I think he is like Chandler is the perfect opponent. It's action. It's like the most action. It's probably the least resistance to getting a title shot.
Yeah,
I think it would have been hard to justify with Tony. Chandler's just good enough. He's ranked like fifth, sixth in the rankings. We talked about this too. It's actually nuts if you look at when Chandler signed at the time of his signing to the UFC. He literally has fought in the 1 through 5 contenders. Now, they obviously currently don't sit there right now, but at the time he signed his first UFC contract, Khabib was the champion. He's literally fought 1 through 5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's fought the best guys besides Khabib. I mean, Khabib literally retired before he fought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's fought, like, the top 5 lightweights that were ranked when he signed.
His debut is when that we were still saying, like, if McGregor wins, maybe, yeah. Like, Khabib can get dragged back for one final fight. Dana wanted that to happen. Cole says, would they give him a 155 title shot if he fights Chandler at 170? No.
I think yes.
I don't think McGregor...
You think they'd give him the 170 shot?
I don't think McGregor ever fights at 155 ever again.
See, I think for a title shot, he would. And especially if it was Islam.
Does he want to fight Islam?
I don't know.
See, I think he does.
I think he does.
I mean, he wants
Kamaru, Chandler like
off, or like somebody like that.
That's
or
also
whoever's the champ at the time.
It needs to be pointed out. McGregor is taking this fight off injury, off layoff, and he's going straight up to Chandler. Like the talk about McGregor dodging fights, it needs to stop. He fought Khabib off his crazy layoff after the Mayweather thing. I don't think McGregor is dodging fights. Is he like picking and choosing? Even I don't know because like. Who's a tougher opponent for him in that division that's available right now and makes sense?
The only one you could say would be Poirier, I guess.
And, like, again, yeah.
And that'd obviously be the fourth time they fought. So even that, you could argue it's not. But, I mean, in terms of people that are available, it literally is basically
Poirier. He might have taken the toughest guy.
I'll play devil's advocate with you for a little bit. I mean, Beneil's available. Charles is available. I know they're saying Charles.
Yeah.
I know they're saying Charles and Beneil are probably going to fight in the next like 4 or 5-ish months.
There's an argument
which
for
I would,
Charles,
which I'd prefer because I think Beneil. I was saying this to you off camera too. That I think Beneil is the dark horse of the division.
Yeah.
And I rewatched. I was saying to you, I rewatched the Gamrot fight again just to like even. He was so good.
He's and I was so coming off Gamrot
beating Tsarukyan.
And no disrespect to him, he's so uninteresting as well.
And that's the issue with the Ultimate Fighter. Like, he knows that, but just skill wise, he could fight. But Chandler makes the most sense in, especially with the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, great personality.
It's a very exciting fight. He's almost become like America's favorite.
I was
going to
say the
all
American guy versus
like
Ireland.
He's become like, he reps the flag. Every fight he's been in has been incredibly exciting in the UFC.
Yep. And he's also a guy who might not want to use his wrestling against Conor. He might. Who knows? He might go in there and take him down right away.
Five rounds of them is interesting, too.
Five rounds. And with
two of them, you don't really see it going five rounds. But like, if he decides to wrestle, maybe.
And it's like at 170, Conor's going to be a lot bigger than him, I think.
You know what? Chandler's interesting. Like, he will be bigger, for sure.
He's not that much taller than him. I think he's got an inch on him.
But Chandler's frame is huge. He's just short.
Yeah.
Wait, McGregor only has an inch on?
I think so. McGregor's 5'9". I think Chandler's 5'8".
See, I think Chandler's more like 5'7", probably.
You think they're giving him an inch on the
stats? Yeah, I'd say he's probably a little taller, but Chandler's frame is big.
And also, if you're Chandler.
He says he's like 190 right now.
The biggest thing I think
He's just thick and jacked, but he's just short.
Speaking of guys that are available, I mean, it would be kind of a boring fight, but him, the lead up between a fight of him and Colby would be, I think.
That'd be crazy.
Would be crazy. Because Colby is probably he's the guy that, I mean, Chandler seems like a very normal guy. He'll get into the trash talking, but he knows where it's like, what to say, what to not. And remember, McGregor had that really nice tweet about Chandler after he knocked out Tony, I think.
Yeah, it was Tony, yeah.
And he was like, it'd be great to fight you. But Colby and him would be like, Colby hasn't fought in a year or so. The only thing is, from a Dana White UFC perspective, yeah, the Ultimate Fighter with Colby would be great, but it could be just a really boring fight.
Oh, now,
Chandler,
that's exactly what it would
Chandler, be. Yeah. Chandler will go in there, and I think he'll bang with McGregor. I think McGregor KOs him round one.
So do
but,
I.
Really?
Yeah.
I really
but,
do.
But the only thing is, Colby would go in and just wrestle.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Because Chandler's probably, I think he's even said, he's like, I could go in there and wrestle and be like that and just kind of be a more boring fighter, but he just wants to put on the show. I mean, good for him. He's won the belt in Bellator, and then he came over and he was a few seconds away from finishing Charles.
Very close.
Now he's just kind of a, like, maybe he'll get another shot. You never know. He's a guy that could take the call.
Definitely. He beats McGregor.
He's solidified himself in the top five.
He's somebody that, even though Chandler's lost a lot, he's somebody that I think has just, like, the ultimate respect of all MMA fans in general. Because he goes in and puts on a fucking show.
He's lost zero stock in his losses.
He's never lost a fight that wasn't fight of the night in the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah. He has lost
2-2,
zero
and then
stock.
Two losses were fights in the night. Or, excuse me. One was fight of the year.
Yeah.
Second was nominated. Gaethje. Was a nominee for fight of the year.
And then Charles fight that. Did that get fight of the night?
No, because it was no. I didn't get fight of the
it
night.
It was Diaz and
Edwards.
Me,
So I guess he did lose one fight though. But it was a title fight.
Yeah.
And he
10-8'd him in the first round.
He did. Yeah. It's also
and Charles even took his back.
Yeah.
And he was able to get out of it too, which is I think slept on how. Honestly, I don't know if you've seen a few of these few people who I know Bisping said it. Aljo said it recently on his podcast too, that he genuinely believes that that if Chandler like didn't try to like be Iron Mike and like use his full asset of skills and his full game, that they truly believe he would be the person that would be most equipped to beat Islam in the division. Not saying they didn't say he definitely could, but they
has
felt
the skills.
His skill set would be like the most equitable to like his.
And it's funny because you could make the argument, like, if he fights like that, he might not get tough against McGregor. It's like, maybe he does, but I think a big part of the reason he gets tough against McGregor is because he's such an exciting fighter.
And he knows what the people want. He knows what the people want. And
his call-outs were great when he's
for
like,
sure.
McGregor,
he's
I
great
want
on
you
the
at
mic.
Your biggest, your baddest. Yep. Like, it's a wrestling promo.
I mean, the one he did after after basically both his wins, he's got great promos.
Yeah.
Phenomenal promos, even.
And he's a friend of...
Friend of Bussin' with the Boys.
Barstool and Bussin' with the Boys.
They had the scoop, basically. They had the first interview with him. The news dropped.
He hit them up
and
before
they were
it was announced, basically. Like, hey, like, Dana literally went live, and the second Dana was done going live, they went live.
Which was
they were,
awesome.
Like, prepped, ready to go.
If you haven't watched that interview yet, make sure you watch it. It's on the Bussin' with the Boys channel. It's just Chandler and Taylor.
Yep.
And they really go through everything. And we were saying off mic, like, Chandler is unbelievably transparent and open and humble when he's talking about
when he wants to,
the skills, and he's saying
whatever,
like,
he wants to do, whether that's going to MMA, ESPN, UFC coverage.
Oh yeah.
Or if he just I know he's also, he does go to a lot of like political events, a little bit more right wing leaning, but I mean, he's a guy from Missouri, so right, he's from Mizzou?
He went to Mizzou. I'm not sure.
All that being said, he could do whatever he wants. He could have a fucking show on whatever cable TV. He could have a podcast at Barstool Sports. Like, he could be on the desk with the with everybody.
For sure.
And it was so interesting to hear him break down like what McGregor's skills are and how, like, his footwork's so much better, his countering is so much better, he was saying, as opposed to, you know, my wrestling is so much better and I'm better in this way. Him breaking it down, him being real about it, and him saying the strength that he has to, you know, combat that McGregor has, was really cool. He said, and we talked about this, he believes the fight's going to start and he's going to make McGregor make the first back step. He's going to go right out to the center of the octagon. I said to Ev, I can't imagine that happening because that's McGregor's MO. He, like, cheats the line, especially with Herb Dean. Herb lets him get away with a lot. And he'll be in the center of the octagon before Herb says, let's fight.
For sure. No, he does do that. But I said to you, I was like, but Chandler does the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe not the cheat step, but Chandler, like, always is
runs
first.
Out to the center. Yeah.
Chandler always runs out first, at least in the first round.
So it's like, how does this fight start? Do they both run out to the start and just start fucking trading
right away?
Well,
that's what
I was
going to say. Do they just, like bell rings and they're just like, all right, like, let's fight. Boom.
Does McGregor exchange. Throw one of those weird spinning kicks?
See, I think
Chandler grabs him, like, runs him back up to the wall and then starts trying to, like, pour it on like that.
I think McGregor throws some crazy shit out, like, the first.
I think so, too.
Like, I think he does, like, a crazy, like, spinning kick.
Yeah,
or, like,
just worry about
some
this.
Wild, yeah, does some wild, like, I don't know, some wild punch or something.
The shoulder strikes he opened the cowboy fight with. It's an amazing matchup, though. I think Tough is going to be, like, the biggest show in the dog days of summer when nothing else is on except
baseball.
They
picked a great time to do it.
Like, holy shit, this is going to be must-watch TV. It's on ESPN, not just ESPN+.
Yep.
Plus. This is a show that I could imagine captivating the masses, and Chandler said he could see 2 million pay-per-views for this, and some people are clowning him for it. I don't think they should be. That's a high bar to shoot for, but I don't think it's unachievable.
Yeah, it's high now, and I know people have complained. I've heard some counter-arguments, too, where it's like the pay-per-view price has gone
cheaper,
up.
Yeah.
It's gone up since then, and I think pay-per-views as a whole have done less, but like you said, I mean, the third Poirier Chandler fight did 1.8. Which is the second biggest pay-per-view they've ever had, besides the Chandler.
And I know it had the fights to build it up, the previous fights.
Yeah.
It didn't have this run on The Ultimate Fighter.
I think it's going to be so much based on The Ultimate Fighter and the back and forth. I think, listen, it'll help the build-up regardless. But we were talking in the group chat. I'm just curious how disrespectful McGregor's going to get.
Yeah.
If he's going to go the lowest of low blows, or it's going to be more like you're a journeyman, like Class B Bellator fighter. Or is he going to say, like, or is he going to get, like, talk about, like, his kids being black? Like there's,
yeah.
How, there's many layers of dark. It's how, not that.
And
is,
McGregor's
how,
line.
Like, what level is he going to stoop to?
His line is a lot further than most of our lines. He said things about, you know, Khabib's dad and post-death,
like,
Khabib's dad and Khabib's wife and Poirier's wife, where I'm like, I don't think anything's off limits for him.
See, to me, like, your wife sent me DMs is like it's obviously it's a low blow, but it's one of those that Poirier's not losing. So he's like, no, she's not, bro. Like, she's in bed with me. Like, she's not in your DMs.
Yeah,
like that's one of those that you can like take that, but there's certain lines that it, like what is he gonna cross? I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think he'll go after the kids.
Because he will also in the bus, and Chandler was saying, which I believe this. I think he'll be. He was saying that his wife is incredibly, like, thick-skinned.
Yeah,
I believe him just saying your wife's whatever, like, that's not going to bother.
It won't get them.
Not even
laugh about
worried,
it.
Like, whatsoever about that.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to come right out the gate with disrespect.
I don't think so either.
It'll start kind of forming throughout the season. I do think by the time they fight, I think McGregor will have said something that we're like, that was pretty fucking disrespectful.
Yeah. That's the biggest question. I thought he would go all the way, but then hearing Big Ev push back on it in the group chat when we were talking, what was that, Saturday or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I completely agreed with him a little bit more so, but we'll see. I mean, who knows? It's Conor. I mean, he won the fact that he went after I mean, he said some really crazy things leading up to the Khabib fight.
He still says some crazy things about Khabib.
Yeah, he still says, yeah, some, like, incredibly disrespectful for, like, various reasons, religious, yeah. whatnot. Who knows? Maybe he likes Chandler. He's, like, always, he, I mean, obviously.
He's always been respectful towards Chandler.
He hates Khabib. And also, that was still when Conor wasn't at his peak. I mean, I guess that was his peak looking back at it. But now,
yeah,
he doesn't need to promo it that hard. Like, it's, like, you don't have to prove yourself. It's as much anymore. But
I don't
also,
think it's proving himself for him. I think it's true mental warfare for him. I think in his mind, he's like incepting his opponent's brain and digging in there.
I agree partly because we were kind of saying that too after the, like obviously the second Poirier fight, he's respectful.
Yeah.
He gets beat up, he loses. And then he tries like go back into his bag for the third one. Yeah. But then when you're talking shit to the guy who just knocked you out, I think it just doesn't play the same.
It doesn't.
And especially when the first fight was, like, so long before that where it's, like, it didn't even matter.
I view his trash – I think McGregor's going to trash-talk Chandler like he trash-talked Poirier in the first fight between them. When he was super young, his main thing against Poirier was, like, your chin's gone, brother. You have a glass chin. Like, everyone's dropping you at this point. I view that as McGregor's, saying, like, bro, Tony Ferguson dropped you. Like,
you know what? That I expect.
Yeah.
That I expect to happen at some point. Like I said, him.
I think that's how it starts.
You're a class B guy. You're not like in this. Like you, like I knock out champions. Like you're like you champions. Knock
I'm giving you,
out. You
a red pen.
Oh, like I built this
shit.
Thing for you.
Yeah, like, yeah, kind of thing. Like I see him more going that route. That now I will pose this hypothetical. There are 4 weeks in the competition. Team Chandler's 3-0, 4-0.
Yeah,
I think McGregor gets upset. Like
I think
he's
he does
a.
Too. He's competitive.
If you watch the first one with Faber, which he wasn't even fighting Uriah,
yeah.
Like they were, his guys were losing at first, and he was saying how he was playing all cool, like, oh, like I'm not going to get super invested.
Yeah.
And then his guys would lose, he'd be furious.
Pissed. And I'm excited to see him back as Coach Connor, Corner Man Connor, when he's yelling to the fighter, keep it flowy, Artem,
and
like the
Artem.
Clips in that. Yeah. So many great.
See, I wonder how that's
going to
go too. I wonder, like.
Is he going to mention? Is
he going to have
gonna mention
little, Artem? Is he going to have a little mentee?
Like also,
like, is he going to have like some Irish guy that's like under his wing? Or like it doesn't seem that way to me. I'm not aware of anyone, but I could be wrong.
Good thing
bring
for
in
Chandler.
Lee Hammond. Lee Hammond is like a younger guy at SBG. He could bring him in if he wanted to.
Well, that's another thing too. They haven't announced weight class. They haven't announced female or female.
Seemed like Chandler didn't even really know. The
he said he had no idea.
Boston.
He had no clue.
He didn't even, I mean, he didn't.
Because, like, they got to rally those guys or girls now.
Yeah.
You got to get them all, like, well, obviously. And also, and I will say this, too. With having the Contender Series, the Ultimate Fighter is much different.
It is.
Like, the Contender Series is a much, like, easier path.
It's a more feeder
a contract.
Path, yeah.
The only thing
it's
is.
It's one, you get one
you
nice
say,
win.
You don't say no to
a Connor
season.
Yeah.
Season.
Agreed. 100%. Totally
it,
agree with
Nunez,
you.
Like, Nunez Pena, no disrespect. I would say if you had the Dana White Contender Series or that. You go with
if you were
Dana
like,
White.
Just think about how many of those guys were like already on, like you're already on their radar.
Yeah,
and you probably are like one LFA win away or like something like that. Anyway, a lot of those guys
you
can see saying no, but totally agreed. I mean,
you could be a star by
the
end
star
of this
power.
Season.
If you like, if you're like a big personality, you're knocking people out. You're exciting, whatever. You agree? You could be a massive star by the time you're UFC.
Especially
you,
if you
win the contract,
have some personality because like, if you have personality on this season with Connor, if you're on Connor's team or Chandler, like let's say you're a fucking like. Well, like on Chandler's team, and you're talking shit to Connor, like people will love that.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And Connor will probably like low key like it. It's kind of like
people loved
when,
it with Garbrandt back in
when he was
on Uriah's
team.
Like,
think about those guys on those fucking like those. Yeah. So, but it is great to see Ultimate Fighter a little bit more back. Maybe, but yeah, I mean,
I think this will like rejuvenate it. Hopefully, in that like, hopefully next season we can get Jon Jones versus someone on the Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, the last
like, let's
two
get Masvidal.
Been,
like, you know, like
you could do Jon like.
Let's get Adesanya City Kickboxing versus someone. Let's get the biggest names possible back on the Ultimate Fighter. If you want to bring it back, that's how to do it.
This will inspire stars.
How much do you think they have to pay McGregor to do Ultimate Fighter?
I bet it's not as much as you think because he has all of the money now.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I think it's still paying him a lot.
I think they're paying him a fuck ton, I'm sure.
Also, and I'm sure there's in the contract, like, you, all of your scenes can have, like, proper 12. Like,
I'm sure proper's going to be sponsored the whole season. It's going to be on the canvas for the finals.
Also, it just helps pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So it's just him inherently just doing it, it's going to make him more money like just with the fight.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Yeah.
And another thing I think we can put to bed, well, like you said, that was always a fallacy, the idea that he runs from fights, because yeah. he's never ran from a fight. I mean, he went up, like, the fact he never ran from Khabib is the number one what you look at from that perspective. But also, like, we had Big Cat in here, and not to say, well, like, Big Cat's probably a casual MMA fan, if you think about him. And he was like, oh, I just think Conor's done because, like, he has all the money. Why does he want to fight? That was a big-time take from a lot of people. That's debt. I think he wants...
No, but if you remember, though, he said, but whenever he fights, I'll always buy it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not saying say that. That wasn't a call to
he
Big
just
Cat.
Thought he
that
was done
more,
in that, like...
Oh, fair. Yeah.
That it's a bigger... Like, a lot of people, and that wasn't just Big Cat. That was just on our show. A lot of my friends, whatnot. And totally. I think it was a take. It was like, oh, he's so rich. He has all the money. Why does he want to fight? I think he's just, like, he's obsessed with it. So, yeah. And
committing yourself to this, like, couple week-long process of shooting and being open to all the cameras again, like, you have to love it. He doesn't have to do this at all.
Yeah.
He could be like, I want to fight Chandler in September, and they'd be like, cool, let's do
it. Yeah. For so, sure. I mean, so it's really exciting, and, yeah, the show's going to be big time.
It's going to be awesome. Coach Kavanaugh will be back in the mix, I'm sure. Owen Roddy, maybe McGregor's boxing coaches that he's been bringing around, the Crumlin boxing coaches.
Yeah, Chandler was saying he's kind of scrambling because obviously being like AT&T, it's like a weird
it's tough to get guys.
So he basically said he's gonna have guys rotating in and out. Like he said, Henry Hoop's gonna be there for like points of time, but like not
that's
he's not gonna just be
there
for 6 weeks straight. The guy Stout is like the other striking coach.
Mike Brown, like, will he do any of the time?
He didn't say anything about Mike Brown. He said, I think his name is Jason Stout. It's like their striking coach.
Yeah, I don't even know if Mike Brown is like.
He's like
worse with
Stout's like the associate head coach.
He might not.
The problem with him is he literally goes like every guy's fight, so he's just always traveling. And he said Burns might do it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
He told Burns like obviously like I guess he said this to everybody that kind of like listen like you don't have to do it. I'm literally asking you to commit like 6 weeks on like 5 days' notice.
Wait, yeah. Burns is at.
He trains there too.
His top team, yeah.
I thought Burns was out. What's it called? What's the other one in Florida?
Sanford?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're at Sanford. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're at Sanford.
Yes.
They're at Sanford.
Who's at Sanford?
Like Chandler and them. That was my mistake.
Chandler's
I mixed,
at Sanford.
I mixed them up.
Mike Brown.
When I said ATT, I mixed them up. I meant Sanford.
And then ATT is Masvidal, obviously.
Yes, and like
so
Poirier.
Poirier.
And like those guys. Yeah.
Evelyn. Yeah.
Yes.
Because Poirier was, and this is probably a good transition to the Bellator.
We could transition
Poirier
right
Poirier was ringside.
In Evelyn's corner, yeah.
And I think him, he, by his reaction, he loves Evelyn. And obviously, I mean, that fight was awesome. I thought he had some adversity. Tokov's a good fighter.
Yes.
He was
better than I thought he'd be, for sure.
And his jabs, I think, for whatever reason, just hurt his eye a little bit.
He was landing.
It was closing. But Evelyn just... He showed again why, I mean...
Masvidal called him the best middleweight in the world yesterday.
I mean, I, like, is he that wrong? I mean, him against... The only thing is, like, him against... If we're looking at the best middleweights in the world right now, right? Like, Pereira, how would you think that fight against Evelyn would go? Like, what would you line that?
It's tough because, I mean, the wrestling edge obviously is huge.
You would have to give... I love Evelyn, but you'd have to make Pereira the favorite.
But I think... I would.
It wouldn't
I think
be a big
be
favorite.
Like -140 +120.
It'd be
if
close.
Somebody gave me
just
Evelyn
level of competition
+200,
wise.
Like responsibly, I think that would be like.
He called for the fight on Twitter. Did you see that?
Who?
Evelyn.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean,
someone tweeted like we
actually,
should make
I
him
actually
fight.
Heard. I did watch an interview. He spoke about it, and his logic is basically, listen, like just the sheer. This guy's basically his logic was, he wrestled at Mizzou with Chandler.
Yeah.
He's been a high-level wrestler literally his entire life.
Yeah.
Pereira started doing just MMA a lot, like, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he was basically just saying that, like, it would take him 10 years to catch up wrestling-wise.
To grapple, yeah.
So, I mean, could he land, like, some... They call him Hands of Stone for a reason.
Yeah.
He always have a puncher's chance, but Evelyn was pretty much, like, he just thinks he would just wrestle fuck him for 5 rounds.
He'll get...
Which I think is within, like, he's not totally out of the question.
He said after that, obviously, he'll get... Musasi and Fabian Edwards,
the rematch, yeah.
Leon's brother.
Yep.
They're fighting in Paris and whenever that card is. And then he said he'd love to fight that guy.
The winner.
And then after that, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Nemkov a little bit higher up. I don't know if he'll ever go up that high, but that is a good – I mean, that's his first title defense. But, I mean, if he gets a few, I don't know what his contract is, but, like, I mean, I think he'll be –
UFC, PFL.
He could be a massive
big free
deal.
Agent.
Yeah, big free agent. Or stay at Bellator.
Also, we can't talk about his fight without mentioning the German suplex at the end.
I mean,
insane.
Holy shit. Insane. And that picture, he reposted a picture where you could see his eyes are, like, looking down at the mat right where he's going to slam him. Picture perfect.
That was awesome.
Unreal.
His cardio is elite.
That, the Lorenz Larkin knockout from earlier in the night, the elbow, short elbow off the separation, just made the guy fucking faceplant. Unreal finishes. And then the Ward fight was amazing.
I mean, that fight
incredible.
Absolutely delivered. Brennan Ward is skyrocketing up after
another
his comeback.
Another Connecticut guy, New London, Connecticut.
Another big Connecticut guy. And then, unfortunately, the main event.
Yeah, I mean.
Both heavyweight main events this weekend just made me a little sad to watch.
The Fedor thing was a little bit more expected.
I was huge on Bader.
Me too.
I expected
and
it.
And also, under the fact that line was like under 1.5 or like it wasn't that juiced, looking back on it, that fight was never getting to, at any point, more than I think the fight.
Oh, my God.
That was – Fedor took one shot, and you could see right away he was like
– And I texted you guys in the opening seconds. I was like, oh, my God, look at how much he's leading with his chin. Fedor was fighting like – Please end it. Like, it was crazy.
I'm telling you, I really just think the like when you're in a fight that you know you're retiring, it's how can you be all the way in?
Yeah,
100%.
I just think part of you, I think part of you, if you said you're retired, you're like basically accepted defeat.
You're out. Yeah,
not accepted defeat. Like, but just you like if you lose, like
you're one
like
foot out the door.
You're win lose. I don't care. Yeah, you're like, it's over.
Also, Fedor, someone. I mean, he's done it all. All
record,
the legends that were there.
That
was
really awesome.
Cool.
That was absolutely him calling Chuck Liddell fat was hysterical when he's like, your belly. He's like, yeah. You know how it goes.
Like,
oh,
you're
he's
right.
Like, oh, fuck, yeah. That was super funny. The final like shot of his gloves being left in the cage was cool. And I know in his career he's had a couple, more than a few, decisions handed to him that he shouldn't have had handed to him. But you just look at that resume. The fighters that he's fought, 7 losses on his entire career, 2 of them being from Ryan Bader. Just crazy. He's an absolute legend. Dana afterwards, when he got X'd about him.
I know.
He pissed
I knew
a lot of people
happen.
Off. But, like, they took his quote out of context. People said Fedor should have retired a couple of years ago, not one of the greatest of all time. Dana made it a little more personal, and he said in the presser, he's never one of the guys that I have considered one of the greatest of all time. And we know that about Dana. They had the back and forth.
And also, when he said to me, like, he was like, how old is he? Like, 46? Like, 46. He's like, yeah, like, he...
Yeah.
That's old. Like, he pretty much like, that's old to be fighting. So.
I don't think Dana has seen the last 10 Fedor fights.
Probably
I think he
not.
Was just saying that based on, like, you're 46
years
old.
He literally said it was pure age.
I mean, in that press conference, he forgot Islam's name.
That was tough. I wrote down Islam versus Volk promotion. It has
I feel
been
like
said.
He's getting a little too much shit for that. Like,
he is.
People have brain
timing.
Farts where you just, like, forget that.
And
like,
it was
obviously he knows his name.
Dude,
like,
I had a brain fart sitting here with Juliana Pena where I was like, yeah, it'll be Nunez versus
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No,
and, like, I forgot her name. She was right next to me. Obviously,
eye.
I knew
also,
who she was.
Also, low-key, it's a great way to promote the fight. Like,
Dana
forgot the main fighter's name.
But it just the timing of it all where it's like – Islam's like, he's not promoting our fight. And they're like, Dana's like, yeah, slap fighting has, you know, we're number one on this. We're number one on that.
We must promote slap fighting, brother.
We have this, you know, we're this in the world. We're, you know, this is what WWE averages. And then someone's like, what about the biggest fight in UFC history next week? And he's like, the Australian kid versus the, what's his nuts? Someone's like, Islam? He's like, yeah, that kid. It was the optics of it were definitely bad. I do agree, though. People are making it out like Dana White doesn't know who's fighting next week.
Like he's like Islam. Like who's that? Like,
he knows who's fighting. I also saw some people suggesting he did that on purpose to like put a knife in Islam's side for saying we weren't promoting you enough.
That'd be pretty savage if he did.
It'd be savage if he did.
Was, if
I don't
he was,
think he's doing.
If
that.
He was like that diabolical,
yeah. If he's like who?
I wanted to ask you guys this. A lot of people. So I tweeted out that quote from Islam, and. That tweet for
went
our
crazy
went nuts,
crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it would. I was just like, oh, nice little quote to put up. But people went crazy, and they're like, this is Islam's fault. He's boring. I think Islam, at least from my perspective, outside the cage, like, if you watch an interview with him, he's a funny guy.
I don't think he's boring. Yeah, he is funny.
And also, you have to give that guy credit. Like, English is his second language, maybe even third.
I was
going to
say, it might
like,
not be a second. It might be his like third or fourth.
Dagestani is kind of like a mix between, because remember we had that issue with Hezbollah.
With Hezbollah and the translator.
And then I'm sure he speaks Russian. And then, obviously, English. His English is pretty good, too. And but I actually like him. I watched the Countdown. Did you watch it yet?
Yeah, I thought
it was really good.
I always do, yeah.
It was really good. They even got – it was nice to learn a little bit more about Emmett and even Yair a little bit. But Islam, of course, and Volk, like,
yeah,
you know the stories about them. But to see Islam go back to Dagestan, they have all the shots of him, like – and his love for Dagestan is immense. And it's like, I don't know – for people that say he's boring, whatnot, I disagree.
I think Islam right now is more interesting than Khabib pre-McGregor.
100%. Because know? Khabib didn't like Islam.
Khabib didn't like doing interviews. Islam like has fun with DC and shit.
Yeah, like, I was about to say like yeah. DC. Like when he talks to Islam, you can tell this guy's really funny off camera.
Yeah,
because DC is just
the way
laughing.
He tries to set him up and provoke yeah. him. And you had a funny tweet where it's like everything Islam says, DC's just like, no, brother, you can't say that.
The Jordan Burroughs thing.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, brother. Like easy. Like
he's double like, leg. I can get double leg.
Double leg. Easy. No problem.
And then he's like, no, Islam. This guy's number one, like best wrestler of all time. Yeah. It's like, brother, if we have walls at AKA, I just go and double leg him.
By the way, speaking of wrestling, look forward to a Jerry wrestling segment on Spin It Back.
Yes,
he's taking over the wrestling world. We're behind them all the way. We're gonna have him on the show, break some things down for us. His moves, I was like, man, Jordan Burroughs better watch him.
Yeah,
himself, because
oh
my god,
himself.
Yeah, better check himself.
More news that I thought was worthy of talking about. Kevin Lee re-signs with the UFC.
Do you think that's because his brother is the biggest guy on the internet right now?
Kevin Lee's brother?
Yeah.
Do you know about this?
No.
His brother's like the social
Keith
media
Lee.
King. Yeah.
What?
Hey, the Bellator. Are you still at Bellator? The Bellator fighter.
Yeah.
He reviews food. Dude,
he's blown up.
Dude, he posts a video and has 100,000 likes in a minute.
On what platform?
TikTok. You have to follow him. He's
I didn't know this at all.
I don't even go on TikTok. I've just seen it like through people posting it on Twitter.
Has Bellator been like promoting this?
No, it's not. He just started doing it. Because, so I was talking to, fuck, who was it? Oh, TJ. And TJ was telling me, Keith Lee's always done content.
Okay.
He usually takes a month off of fighting, like from December to January, because he's
fought. Banks content?
And he just does a lot of content. This year, for whatever reason, he started reviewing food. And he reviewed, I think, this Chipotle, like, off-the-menu item, but is on the menu. And from there, now he just goes and saves restaurants across the country. He goes
Unreal.
And he's like, this is the best thing. I don't love his videos because I have like a very serious ick of like, he has the AirPods on and he chews and you can hear the chewing.
Yeah. I don't
outside
want that.
Of that,
like
he's
ASMR.
He's a very funny guy. And it's like,
I didn't know that at all. That blows my mind.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, Keith Lee. He's,
now that you say that, I didn't know this 3 seconds ago. Yes, I do think that's why he resigned.
I think it was one of the more surprising re-signings.
So surprising.
Re-signings in general. I just didn't see that coming.
Also, his fight in Eagle FC was kind of boring. I know he hurt his leg in the first round.
He got hurt immediately and went to decision with Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Kevin Lee, though.
No,
I don't
do
dislike
too.
Him. He's got one of the greatest head kick knockouts of all time over Gregor Gillespie.
And
that's
MSG,
an insane
right?
one, yeah.
MSG, yeah though, I
put
mean,
him up against the fence, like stiff as a board.
I took it in our draft. I think it's one
whoa,
of
whoa, 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 don't say stiff as a board.
I should
no disrespect.
He was respectfully unconscious.
Yeah.
And then another thing I wanted to bring up, Gamebred Boxing. Another thing that kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't know that this was about to be announced. And then they announced main evented by Anthony Pettis versus Roy Jones Jr.
Just a wild combo.
Boxing match, by the way.
What a combo.
And Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stevens.
Yep.
Also,
awesome.
Jacare versus Vitor Belfort. There was one other fight
awesome.
On the main card. There's
Paul Daly versus
yes, Semtex.
Who is Paul Daly fighting?
Paul Daly's fighting someone, and they're doing Pearl Gonzalez versus
Gina
Mazzani?
Yeah.
Gina Mazzani!
I think so, yeah.
No way she has the cardio to get out of the fucking third round
in boxing. A boxing fight? Yeah, I don't know.
Remember it's that tough. Fight that Gina Mazzani just laid on a girl for like an entire round and the ref was like, I have to stand you up. And then she just got knocked the fuck out.
I vaguely remember
she's
that.
She's married to somebody in
her,
the UFC.
Her corner, right? Her husband corners her?
But I think her husband was a UFC
is
fighter.
Is it her brother and her husband and her brother?
Oh,
I might be mixing that up there.
She's
Anthony Taylor.
That's who it is.
That's who he's fighting. Who, Anthony Taylor's the one who pieced up Dylan Danis in a parking lot,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He's who fought he fought Tommy Fury.
By the way.
On the first Woodley
another MMA card. Thing.
Danis getting scanned?
Are you Dylan Danis got CoffeeZilla. That's the number.
That was tough. Did you see that?
No, what is that?
Okay, so CoffeeZilla is this YouTuber.
I've heard the name. I've heard
who
it.
He exposed Logan Paul.
Oh, he's like exposed for like scams and shit?
Yes.
Okay, and familiar.
He was like, they always try to come up with new videos. And then they were like, they got a lot of info from people that Dylan Danis has scammed a lot of people out of NFTs.
And also been like, Logan Paul's such a scumbag for scamming people.
And then they were like, all right, let's just see what we can do. And they just literally sent him a DM from like an account with zero followers and was like, yeah, so can you just post this NFT for us for $1,000? And he was like, yeah, posted it right away. And this NFT was a complete scam. And then from there, that was pretty much like...
Well, the best part too is... He posted the link, like, this NFT is sick. Click on this link. You click on the link, it's just a link to all of the... It's like Dylan Danis has scammed this many people.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally a link that idiot. Says, like, here's the thing he scammed people with, here's how he scammed them, like...
And so then CoffeeZilla released a video on it, and if CoffeeZilla comes for you and you did anything in the crypto space, it's over.
He's huge, yeah.
He's huge, and he's great. He's been on Dave's show after...
Oh, really?
I think he came on... Remember
when
Dave got...
One of the guys to explain stuff?
Remember when Dave got...
The Safe Moon?
The Safe Moon, and somebody sued him like he was in a lawsuit, but he got taken away. CoffeeZilla came on to explain a lot of the stuff. He's great.
So I did watch that. I didn't realize I had watched him before, but yeah, that was tough. He scammed Dylan Danis with a scam.
That's funny.
He exposed a scam with a scam. Your browser's lost connection to your mic. Oh, no. Did our mics go out? Can you guys hear us?
Oh, go. It's on. It's muted now.
No one's in the office. The internet still sucks. No audio.
No audio. Oh, no. No video. Are we back? Can you hear us? Audio dropped.
I think we're better now.
Are we back?
We back?
Let us know in the chat if we're back. And let us know when it dropped. Fucking.
I think it just dropped. I think.
Dropped again.
How are we losing connection? There's no one even here.
And I think we're not losing connection. We're losing connection to the mic, so it's a wire thing, I think.
This is wild.
Do we have a marker? I could write something.
He said, "Can't hear you guys." We apologize.
They get to talk.
Check, check, check. No sound and no sound and 240p visuals. No audio.
Sorry, one sec.
Talk again. Oh, wait, says we're back. Mike Doty says we're back. We're back. We're good.
All right.
Sorry, fellas.
Sorry about that. Pete's in Arizona, you know, with this guy. He's traveling every week. He's never here. Yeah, you know.
He doesn't give a fuck.
We were talking about the Dylan Danis crypto scam, though. And before that, we were talking about the Gamebred boxing card. I got to say, I'm not usually for these, like, MMA fighter goes over and fights in a boxing fight and influencers, blah, blah, blah. Even though this one's not really influencers, more just fighters. This card interests me.
I'll
watch this card.
So I watched Masvidal was on Helwani last week, and he teased this big time. Like, he was like, he was almost gonna say it, but he was waiting for bout agreements to get signed, and he was really hyping up like it's gonna be like big.
Yeah,
he honestly this is better than I thought it was gonna be.
It's really good.
Like I thought we were gonna get just like one fight. I think we got four legitimately like good fights.
Yeah. Like, I'm interested in Pettis versus Roy Jones Jr. Are you kidding me?
I mean, even who's just like Aldo Stevens is a great fight.
Yeah.
Even just like
Aldo Stevens without takeouts.
It's interesting to see them just boxing. Is like that. I think it's fascinating.
Spinback's bought of that technical issues. It's true.
And from what he said that the payments are gonna like be exposed to the people.
Disclosed purses?
Yes, and I think they're going to be very impressed. Like that, they're making good. A lot of money.
They deserve to make a lot of money. A lot of legends on that card that deserve, you know, good money in their retirement years. And they're also a lot of even matchups. Like when Kevin Lee versus Diego Sanchez gets made in Eagle FC, everyone's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's insane that you're putting these, you know, legends out there to get executed, essentially. This, there was no matchup where I'm like, oh, this is uneven.
Roy Jones is really old. Not that I think
he's old, but like,
not that I think he's even going to lose or anything.
In,
but just,
in a boxing fight,
he's just
like,
old.
I trust him to be able to defend himself against Anthony.
No,
Pettis.
I do too. Like I said, like me saying that is not even me trying to say that Anthony Pettis is going to just like wipe the floor with him. Anyone that's old, it just scares me a little bit.
Yeah, true. That's true. That's a good point. Didn't he? He fought Mike Tyson.
Yeah. And it was, but that was also like a few years ago.
Also, a decent
fight.
That was a good fight.
It was a good fight. But also, Mike Tyson's old too.
Pretty enjoyable. Nate Robinson, Logan Paul.
That was the headliner.
That feels like it was a lifetime ago.
That was the headliner of the.
Yeah. There's like no fans. It was just like zoomed in on the ring.
Hand up. I thought Nate Robinson was going to beat him before that fight. I was like, Nate Robinson's a fucking athlete. Jake Paul's not an athlete. I couldn't have been more wrong about that.
I thought he was going to lose too. Once I saw them in the ring together, I was a little bit more like, who knows? But
yeah.
I didn't think he was going to. That was what got me all in.
It's like Nate Robinson made the fucking kryptonite dunk.
I started betting on him after that, because I was like, my opinion on it was like, he did what a somewhat trained boxer would do to a nobody.
Yeah, it's true.
This is from Mike Doty. Didn't someone try to expose Lope for the last belt card and called out for being wrong? What happens is, California is the only state you have to, like, tell,
disclose,
I guess, the commission,
the, purses,
the
yeah.
pay. But then, it wasn't Jake Shields. Who was it?
It was Josh Thompson.
Yeah, Josh Thompson, quote tweeted, and was like, this all, like, you can't trust these. I remember when
Which we've heard before.
When I was at Bellator, it said I made 50K, but I actually made 500K for the fight. So, I mean, I don't think someone was trying to expose Bellator for it. It was just given to the California Sports Athletic Commission, and then everyone goes and
when it went out, it was like, when you read the purses, if you were to believe them, there were a couple, like, man, a lot of people made more money than Fedor on this card. Like,
yeah, like Johnny Eplin, who we love, of course, made more than Fedor, which would have been a little bit surprising because Fedor's...
Yeah, like, through sponsors, I'm sure, like, everything was evened out and everything, but like, even not just Eblen, but I feel like there was like non-champion, was Brennan Ward made more, and I was like, oh my god, like, or he made close to Fedor money.
Well, so Bader talked about it on Hawani yesterday.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay.
And he said he was like, not even, he was like, it's not even close.
So I, but, then that's
like,
really,
he was like, we're
I
making
him,
way
yeah.
more than that. He was like, it was said one, he was like, trust me, I'm making way more than that.
You don't
hear
about Bellator fighters complaining
a lot. Well, I actually think how it started was people were starting to come at Helwani being like, oh, like, you come at UFC, like, why don't you come at Bellator? They're paying these guys dog shit.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, you could kind of say the same thing about UFC, because they do the same thing.
What do you mean, like, at the bottom level?
Like, I'm saying besides the bottom level, like, they're high level guys, they're not disclosed.
Oh yeah, DC's talked about that plenty of times,
and like Sugar's talked about it a bunch. Yeah. Like, he's like, my fee is not disclosed, and I think a lot of the champs that are like 500, like, I don't think that's not all the
and
money
Sugar just
getting.
Signed his 8-fight contract.
He signed
he
a
said,
new
like,
big one.
He had a good interview with Pat McAfee.
Yeah, and I think he said
he said he's making sure he gets every time it's been like 8-fight deal, he usually renegotiates after like 2 or 3 fights.
I know. I actually would like to talk to Dana about that. I don't know how much Dana would like let me in behind the scenes when it comes to that stuff. But almost the like, what's the point of the crazy long fighters? Is that just so you know, like, you're locked down and we can renegotiate at any point? Like, why even sign them to that 8-fight deal?
Well, I think it's because what you said, like, you want to have them locked down, but I also think he wants to be reasonable. Whereas, like,
fighters probably like it too.
I think it's, for example, like,
yeah, security.
Like a Sugar, like, obviously, like, his star power rises. Like, it's not like, I'll put it like this. I mean, they're not renegotiating everybody's contract.
No.
Only special.
So many
guys.
Either get renegotiated or you just get dropped before you finish out your contract.
Yeah.
Which is, like, interesting that they keep, and they don't pursue, they're not signing, you know, low level fighters to 8-fight.
Well,
deals.
The only guys they really drop when they're, like, under contract, they're, like, high paid guys.
Yeah.
Like, high-paid, like, guys like the Woodleys, and, like, you're on, like, a 4-fight losing streak, you make, like, $500,000 a fight.
They basically told Anderson Silva he was retired.
Yeah, like, even if you don't win, like, they're just, like, over, they're just kind of, like, done with you.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, Bader literally said he makes right now 8 to 9 times more than he made in the UFC. His direct quote.
I actually believe that.
He said
about a guy like him.
8 to 9 times was his direct quote.
Because he probably wasn't making that much in the UFC like a guy like him.
Honestly,
who wasn't a big
personality.
Honestly,
I bet he was making like 100.
Yeah.
I bet now he makes close to $1 million, I bet.
Because he's got all the sponsors now.
As the heavyweight champion. I mean, yeah.
Imagine making like 800K for Bellator and then going in there and just like piecing up Fedor for 2 minutes.
Twice.
800K. Yeah. Like, that's why it's like, I think Derek Lewis is probably on a great contract.
He definitely makes a few hundred thousand, I bet.
And
yeah.
Even like
at least
he went in there and he tried. I mean, he got up from multiple takedowns and he was getting ragdolled. And everyone was like, I feel bad for Derek Lewis. I mean, he's fine. He didn't get knocked unconscious.
He
barely got hit, and then he got submitted and he got a good payday and he'll be back. He'll fight again.
Also,
Dana said he's not going anywhere.
No.
And also, he's only losing the top tier people. Like, people are like, he's finished. It's like,
oh, yeah. There's so many matchups out there in the heavyweight division.
If he fought Tybura the other night,
he
would have fucking
destroyed
Parker
Porter. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, no disrespect to Parker.
No disrespect. No disrespect.
He's winning this weekend.
He's fighting a main event.
No.
Main event pay-per-view card.
He's winning this weekend. Yeah, all right. He's in Australia. I've been following him on Instagram stories. He doesn't follow me back, which is just.
Parker. He's got to follow you back. We'll give him a big shout-out on Thursday.
He's going to be the enemy. He's fighting a fucking Islander.
That's tough, all right?
He's fighting an Islander.
There's a lot of interesting fights. Before we, like, we'll obviously preview all
that
Thursday.
On Thursday,
but
yeah.
You think Volk has a shot or no?
Yes.
I think we're going to know, in the, like, early on.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm almost at the point where I'm like, this is, like, I don't even think he has a chance.
Sprinkle on Volk.
I'm
what are his odds? Is
plus
two,
like,
something?
Like almost 300.
Then
yeah,
I'll definitely sprinkle on Volk.
I think it's one of those things we're gonna know. We're gonna know within the first like 3 minutes where the fight I think it's either Volk gets like ran through, or he like wins.
How much does your mindset change?
I think it's either like a dominant blitz by Islam.
Islam's so much bigger.
Much does your mindset change if Islam shoots a fucking great takedown in the opening exchange? And Volk stuffs that shit, stands back
big
up.
Big time.
And is
no,
like,
it's
let's
big
go.
Time. That's what I'm saying. I think we'll know early.
I mean, it will be.
Islam is getting cocky, saying, like, I'm going to knock him out.
I know. Yes. I saw that.
He's like UNFL 155, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different. Big.
DC in the back. You can't say that. You can't say that, Islam. Yeah.
He's like, just different. He's never different power.
Also,
it's tough with Volk because Volk, his hands are so good, but. He doesn't exactly have, like, this crazy one-punch knockout power at 45.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think Volk will knock him out.
I almost consider him, like, volume power.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, for his
the
volume,
Holloway fights, like,
he hits hard, but, like, he's not, like, some... Like, he's never really had, like, a highlight reel knockout.
It's going to be... I mean, I'm pumped
Maybe
for it, obviously.
Maybe Mendez, he had the body shot that, like, basically ended him.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But,
though.
Like, he hasn't really had, like...
Also,
it's tough too because he had three fights with Holloway, who has like literally an iron chin.
Yeah,
and the way he survived against
Ortega too, though, I'm like,
yeah.
Fuck, like, man, he was in the deepest
he's a
of waters with Ortega.
He just uses
kicking
guys,
his legs out.
He
and
just uses 145 as like punching bags.
Yeah,
he just beats the brakes off them until they either break or they just like he just wins an easy decision.
I have to piss so bad. Do you guys want to keep going and I'll come back in a second, or do you want to wrap it up?
Good at this point.
Yeah. I mean,
you're going to say, we talked about all our topics.
We'll really break down the card later, the next
and
episode.
And I'm sure, like, there'll be more stuff that breaks today, tomorrow.
True.
Thursday. I have some big thoughts on the Madalena Brown fight. We'll get into it next
what,
time.
What, Randy?
Good tease.
Randy.
Good tease for Thursday.
All right.
That's my tease. No opinions have been shed.
Tune in on Thursday. We're going to break down the Hulk card. We're going to be doing the promotion that Islam says they ain't happening. We'll promote it for you. And thanks for tuning in today. Make sure to like the stream. Make sure you like it and comment afterwards. It helps
us. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.